Welcome back to His Time, Monday, February 3rd, 7:46, and it is time for our regular Monday guest, Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning to you and your listeners. I tell you, Andy, I have to share something with you. I was down in Hot Springs Village, Arkansas, at Faith Lutheran Church. Pastor Mark Carnahan is the pastor down there, and it's a retirement village, a very large village, and the average age of God's people down there are 77 years old, so that tells your listeners something.
You mean 77 years young.
That's right. I went down there to talk about beginning end-of-life issues and the marriage issue that, of course, is always in front of us now with gay unions and so forth, and some other things. And then, of course, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Most people call it Affordable Care Act, but it's really the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act. And they really wanted to hammer in on that. And, you know, how do we deal with it? How do we? Because Medicaid and Medicare, of course, has been reduced, and Medicaid will be paying for elective abortions. And so I told them, I said, you know, look, in terms of Christians, we live in both kingdoms. We live, Luther would say, both realms, the right one, God's gospel, grace, the church, the sacraments, and so forth, in the left-hand kingdom where we are out working in perhaps our vocations, whether we're retired, being a teacher, being a politician, being an engineer, working for the cities and so forth. We're Christians living in that political arena, that government, the Romans 13. And I said, you know, now we have opportunities to witness about, you know, what is health in terms of God's kingdom, and that we're dealing with in terms of righteousness, the second article, where he has given us his righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, and so forth. And so that it's not an issue from my viewpoint of sitting up there, and they wanted me to go into the Health Care Act. And so I have to tell you, I started to read part of, there's two sections that deal with one abortion and one, the abortion issues in Section 12, 1303 in this Health Care Act, and the end-of-life issue, which so-called death panels, are in Section 1233. So I started to read these, and they go, whoa. They got all of the taste of the legalistic, and they said, well, what do we do? And I said, well, you have to be informed, like anything, in terms of your health care directives and your health program. You need to be informed. And secondly, you need to look into your local exchanges in terms of what they're doing. But the bottom line is, I think theologically, and I'd be interested in your input as well, is that, you know, I look at this as an issue of the body of Christ, the communion of saints, and going back what Pastor Scheer said, back to the basics of the catechetical instruction, where we look out for each other, basically, like the Hebrews 2 text that we had this past weekend, where he took on our flesh and blood, you know, and he really does have our back in terms of what he has done for us and continues to do for us through the means of grace. And so I look at this from Paul's viewpoint, that we're all body of Christ. We're individual members, but you are the body of Christ. And when one hurts, they all hurt. So that when they find out within their community, perhaps, that somebody is unable to pay, and it does happen in these retirement communities, all of the expenses, perhaps, that may come through different health care programs now, they need to gather together as the body of Christ and help one another. This is the Galatians 6:2. You bear one another's burdens, and in so fulfill the law of Christ. And I think this is where some people forget that love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay? And so that's kind of how I approach this, so that we can remain theological and not get into the politics of this thing, even though I know people are talking about it, and they wanted me to get into it. And I said, you know, we got to be Christians about this. Doesn't mean you can't agree or disagree with the program, but if any program, whether it's in the healthcare system or certainly in the scientific realm, is not in service to God's word, then you have every right to disagree, to write your congressman and woman, and so forth. And that's how we deal with these things. So I just thought it was an interesting thing. I've never been asked to talk about it. It was quite a challenge because my brother's a geriatrics physician, and we do talk about this. And I think dealing with it through the two kingdoms and certainly through the body of Christ language that we have in the scriptures and the confessions is one way to deal with this together and not individually.
And that's part of life together, is it not?
Yes, it is. I'm not sure to me, and I'm not sure how you would feel about this, Andy, but Bob Weiss kind of looks at this, there are some things that I clearly would, in terms of how I see my health care and what God has established through the government in terms of Concordia health plans and so forth and what's going on there. Of course, we're all concerned about our life and our health and so forth. But this, to me, draws us back into the scriptures, into the confessions, to communicate within the body of Christ, to pray for one another, pray without ceasing, the First Thessalonians 3:17 and so forth. Bear one another's burdens. I'm not trying to sound like a Betty Crocker theologian. I don't like that. Where, you do this, this, and this, and everything's going to be fine. But it's a whole array from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. When you see how God deals with us through the means of grace, so that when we're looking at this and we all go, boy, this, I don't know about this, we need to be informed, but we also need to be into the scriptures and the confessions, especially the small catechism, where we are strengthened by his body and his blood, and our remembrance of our baptism into the death and resurrection of Christ, so that what we receive, like Paul says, we pass on to our children and to our grandchildren. And I think that's really what's important to me, because, we can get, I guess some people can get pretty angry and upset with a lot of this stuff, but I think, as Luther said, you can be angry, but don't turn your back on the Lord. And so I think that, I'm not sure how all of this fits into a lot of your listeners right now, but when I was down there, there was a man, Stacy and his son Robert were there, and they listened to what you and I and Pastor Scheer and other of your guests talk about every morning, and I was really impressed. This is way down in Hot Springs, Arkansas, so you're touching people's hearts way down in that area, too, so...
Well, it's good to know that the message is making its way around the globe. I know I received an email from a listener in Arkansas not too long ago, and she was appreciative of that because she said there weren't a whole lot of Lutherans in her area.
No, they're not. And I just don't know sometimes, from my viewpoint, as we discuss some of these issues together on Monday morning, how one approaches this. But I do think our Christian witnesses is involved in this, and sometimes we forget about this, that we are... redeemed, created, redeemed, and sanctified by our Lord and Jesus Christ, and there is, and you too will be my witness. And so, whatever we do and say, as Paul would say, imitate me as I imitate Christ in 1 Corinthians 11:1. And I think that whole word of imitation, which is in Greek, as you know, is what a lot of people know is the word mimic. And I think that this is very important from the standpoint of our baptism, is to be informed, find out what's going on, and then talk about it from a biblical viewpoint. What would God have us do and say to help each other and bear one another's burdens through all of these issues that they're struggling with?
Excuse me. This life together, this life in this flesh, is always going to present challenges, no matter what the challenges may be. It seems like, it seems like there are always new challenges that we face and new questions that we're facing every year, but there's really nothing new under the sun, is there?
No, I'm glad you said that. Actually, on Saturday when I was talking there, I mentioned that, in Ecclesiastes, and they soon were finding out, and when we were going through the scriptures and confessions, that everything is there to discuss, to edify, and to bring to light the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I really appreciated the Hebrews 2 text from 14 to 18 this past weekend, that very clearly talks about the incarnation and what it's all about there in terms of, he shared flesh and blood with us, and he partook in the same things, but that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death and the devil. Yet, of course, he was without sin. And I think some people tend to forget that the role of the incarnation in all of this and its connection to his death and his resurrection, that this is the line that runs through all of Scripture. So This is what, to me, is very, very helpful and very faith-strengthening to know that Jesus Christ, you know, he still is a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, this is important, that he came down to take on the same flesh and blood I have, yet without sin.
And we certainly see that incarnation throughout, through as we go through the season of Advent and then the Christmas and now Epiphany. But even more so, we'll see that that the real flesh and blood of Jesus in the coming season of Lent, will we not?
Oh, of course. I mean, this is just this is the thread. I remember Dr. Martin Charlemagne sharing that with us in some of his classes. And, you know, Jesus Christ is the thread from Genesis to Revelation. To me, it's just he pulls everything together, obviously. Mm. And that's why you can't connect Genesis with Revelation, even in its word and its meaning. And so this, to encourage people to get into the scriptures, and this young man, Robert, was saying, you know, a lot of people just aren't doing this. You know, he's well aware of the millennial generation and their sort of their disrespect and low regard for authority and very much into themselves and so forth. And he said he sees this in his school. He was a freshman in high school, and I was very impressed with his witness, he and his dad, and what they had to say and their contribution on some of these subjects. So, but that's because they're into the scriptures. They're into their catechetical instruction they had. And this goes back to the basics that Pastor Scherer was talking about. And that's what we have to always do, go back to the basics.
Sure. And it takes certainly not only studying the basics, but who is studying the basics, who is teaching and studying the basics. It involves the whole congregation. We think that quite often we think that it's just a youth worker, a pastor that's teaching the youth, but it really takes a whole congregation, families and other members of the congregation to support those families, to help those students grow and study in the word.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, did you hear what the pastor said? Did you hear what the deacon, mm-hmm. did you hear what my friend John said sitting over there in the chair? Well, I never heard that before. So, you're right. This is part of the priesthood of all believers.
Amen.
That are there studying the Word of God and being strengthened through the Word and through each other.
Thanks, Dr. Weiss. Always good to catch up with you on Mondays.
You bet. God's peace to you and your listeners.
Amen to you as well. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Bye-bye.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll join together to study God's Word here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO.